I think the exercise is still not up to standard. The exercise of the spirit. So you see, Dave Wilson has to pray again. Why is only Dave Wilson praying? When you all have a mouth, you all have a spirit, why are you not praying? Tell me, why? The meeting is too big, too many people. Why? The spirit is weak. Your spirit is weak. That's the only reason. So you need to go to the gym, all right? You need to go. We are talking to leading brothers, responsible brothers, brothers with a burden to serve the church, and yet no exercise of the spirit. What is that? What is that? The first thing we know in the church life is the spirit. The mingled spirit, right? The exercise and release of our spirit, without which there's nothing. But our spirit is weak. Talking about Brother Lee's training us, he trained us very much along this line. God has not given you a spirit of cowardice, but of power, love, and a sober-mindedness. You have such a spirit, fan it into flame. Amen. Don't wait. So when you don't exercise, no wonder your meetings are dead. Amen. Don't blame the saints. Blame them later. Blame this person first. Why are you not exercised? Or if you can exercise, some of you, you have only a 3-minute, what? Endurance. After that, you're quiet because you're spent. There's no stamina. There's no endurance in your spirit. You give up. When you brothers come together and pray in your locality, how long do you pray? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? 15 minutes? 30 minutes? 45 minutes? An hour? I bet you we spend more time to talk, quote, quote, fellowship, rather than pray. It's easy. You don't need to use your spirit that much to fellowship. It needs a lot of exercise to pray. And see, this is another bad habit. So amongst us, the praying spirit is not that strong. The talking spirit, very strong. Just now, boo, 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 everyone's talking, talking, talking. Easy, right? No need to exercise. Sitting down here, let's pray. No one prays. That's the condition of our churches. Do you know why now? It's because of us. That's because of us. So I'm being very, very honest, very, very practical with you. We need to change that. That's not the Lord's recovery. The recovery is full of the Spirit. We have nothing but the Spirit and the Word. Am I right? If our spirit is Word, is lacking and the word is rare, the recovery is over. I hope, brothers, you will take this word and begin to practice and change things this week. In your churches, in your church life, in your personal life, start to change. Have a change. Nobody wants to exercise their physical body because it's kind of painful, but you get healthy. You build up endurance. I'm told I'm over 60. You just say you use age as your excuse not to do much. They tell us, the exercise gurus tell you, it's all in your head. You can be 60, 70, but if you have your head really thinking that you can do it, you still can do it. Of course, with certain limitation, of course, but you can do it. Don't give up. Brother Lee never gave up, even until he died. He fought to his last breath. And we give up. We just let go. And so the church becomes easygoing. The meetings becomes dead and not lively because there's no spirit. A very little spirit. Let's reduce our talking and increase our praying. That's a habit too. By the way, that's a habit as well. Let's change the church life by changing ourselves. And let me read you a few more sentences from what was sent to me today. by my helper on the matter of eldership. I would ask all the elders throughout the United States to consider the eldership in their locality. Some of the present elders may feel honestly, fairly, and rightly that they are not so useful in the eldership. It may be that you would be more useful if you were not in the eldership. If this is the case and this is the feeling, it is better for you to take the initiative to resign. You should know the situation of the church in your locality and the real situation of the eldership. You also should know if it will be profitable for you to remain in the eldership or more profitable for you to stay away from the eldership. If you decide to stay away from the eldership in this light, this is something beautiful. Do we look at things this way? Any kind of post or, well, he talked about president of the United States, 4-year term, congressman, 2-year term, senator, 6-year term. Everything is clear. But somehow in the Bible, we're never told how long is the eldership term. So we end up with eternal elderships. And I don't mean that in a good way. Humanly speaking, some elders who become more experienced will be more useful. On the other hand, human beings may not be so strong, healthy, or capable for a certain post as when they were younger. As elders who love the Lord and who love the recovery, we should consider the situation of the eldership in our local church. Only the elders know the real situation in your locality. The church life is like a family, and the elders should be like the fathers. At a certain time, a father should know whether it would be better to let his son take care of the family. The emperor of a certain country may be too old to adequately carry out his commission and duty, while his son would be more capable. Whether this should be done or not depends upon the emperor's decision. I'm not saying emperors, elders are emperors. That's just an illustration. In this matter, the elders should neither be polite nor be afraid of anything, but they should be honest. The fellowship should help all the elders to reconsider the eldership in their respective localities. Whether we stay in the eldership or stay away depends upon the real profit. Don't think position. Don't think benefits. Don't think self-interest. Think profit. What is the profit to the Lord's church? That should be the governing and driving principle in everything. What is the best for the profit of the church? I do not think anyone can make this decision on your behalf. Only you can do this. Well, open to the fellowship. Some of us may have to open to the fellowship. You may have realized that there's some younger ones in your locality who are really much better. If so, you should give in. This is not a matter of politeness, but a matter of whether or not the church will receive more profit. If you feel that it would be more profitable for you to stay, then stay. You need to forget about your ambition, your politeness, or any other motives. You should only take care of the profit of the church in your locality. We need to do this by really meaning business with the Lord, because we like to see that the new start in the Lord's recovery will be much blessed. Don't you want a renewal in Northern California? A new start? A new season? Indeed, a new era? Let's be serious about it. Let's be very honest about it. I don't mean you should take unilateral actions. You should open to fellowship, brothers. The key and the hinge to this new start is the eldership. That's why among so many things we need to do in Northern California, we start with this matter, because it all begins there. Regardless of how much we will be in the one accord, if the eldership is not so proper, that will still be a big minus. We can be one, really harmonious, but the eldership is weak, unhealthy, we still cannot go on. We realize that we are not that strong, but something better could be worked out. We have to admit that mostly no church is up to the standard, so let us admit our shortage. However, according to what we have and what we are, we need to make a decision concerning what is the best way for the eldership in our locality. I'll just stop there. I may read more as we go on in the coming weeks. sessions and times. If you want to know the reference to that, I'll give it to you. You can come up to me. Now, let's come to number two, and we will finish this meeting by 10 till 12 or so for another short break, and then we will go on to lesson three. They're a little bit, I know the meetings are packed, material rather dense, so you need your full concentration, all right? Don't think about this or that. Give your concentration to the word. Now, you will see in this outline and the next one, we will go way back to the Old Testament. It's surprising to many New Testament believers to find out how not only consistent the Old Testament and the New are in many things, but even more, how much of the practices of the New Testament was already there in the Old Testament. Now, this doesn't mean we're going back to the Old Covenant. We don't mean that. From grace to works, right? From Christ to the law. We don't mean it in that sense. But in the sense of the practical, necessary practices in the Lord's, in God's government, in God's kingdom, in God's administration of a people on the earth, you cannot escape certain principles. Human beings today in society have to behave themselves in a certain way, just like 4,000 years ago, whether you have the internet or not. Certain things are just there. That's how God ordained things, the way human society is organized. So we should not be surprised, and I'm so thankful our brother saw this and can interpret this in a way that makes the Old Testament practices so applicable, so useful to us today. All right? So you have in the scripture reading, these three verses in Exodus 3, 19, and 24. 24 actually have two verses. This is talking about among the children of Israel, even before they left Egypt, there were elders among them. There are already elders there. All right? Then after they left, they went into the wilderness, and they come to Mount Sinai. And so they became formed into a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a people of God's possession, a people. Notice these words, they are all collective terms. They're no longer individuals. It's not even just about Moses. Of course, Moses was greatly used as God's vessel, as a great prophet and leader, for sure. But that Moses is not what God wants. God used Moses to what? To gain a collective body, an entity, a people on the earth to be his testimony. All right? And they are called what? A people. They are called a nation. They are called a kingdom. And whenever you have these things, these thoughts, then right away you can conclude there is the need for certain government. Am I right? There needs to be certain law. There's a certain regulation that allows the people in this kingdom to exist together, to serve together, to do things, to live together. This is even in the human realm. God is no different. Although God has his own ways, as we will see, no democracy, no autocracy. God's way is his direct governing of his people through some agents. Through some agents. And included in these agents, or the top tier of these agents, must be the elders. 70 of them. I think in those, in the wilderness, there were 2-3 million. You know, men, women, and children. 70 elders. All right? They are the representatives of God in God's government and administration among the people in his kingdom. All right? This is consistent. So the concept of elders in New Testament churches is not new. the concept, the principle is there. So there's a lot to learn, even from the Old Testament. So don't jump over the Old Testament verses when you study this matter. In fact, get into it. All right? We'll see this in the next lesson. All right. Roman 1, could you read, brothers? The origin of so today, this session is on the origin of the elders, and we find that in the Old Testament. So let us go through this. I'm going to go through it rather quickly. I rely on you to take week two, the week after this coming week, as a group to really get into this. We all need to be anchored in the Word of God. We don't practice things willy-nilly. We base even all our practices on His Word. And you need to know the Word. See, another habit, lack of exercise of the Spirit, are elders who don't read the Bible. Elders have no care for the Word. And here they are, they're leading. So their concept of leading is they can lead, they can control, they can make decisions. They think that is leading. That's not leading. That's a worldly concept of leading. There's a need for that. But that is not the main thing. If you have no word of God, you are not qualified to lead. So, elders, responsible ones, you have to know the Lord's word. You have to get into the Lord's word. Otherwise, you are just issuing decrees, making natural decisions. That's why your church is how it is. All right, this is just not really a sidebar. This is an important bar. Okay. In the Old Testament, God originally ordained for elders, not kings. Kings came in later. Kings is what the people want, which displeased the Lord. The Lord went along with it, but it did not please God. All right? He is the king. But he needs elders, these agents, to represent him among his people, to be the administrators, to administrate things, to take care of things on his behalf. In Genesis, the first book of the Old Testament, the record is mainly regarding individuals. Genesis speaks of eight great figures: Adam, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Adam, Isaac, and Jacob, all individuals. But when we come to Exodus, the second book of the Old Testament, the age of individuals becomes the age of a corporate body. I think the sweet taste of Exodus crystallization studies is still in our mouths, right? Am I right? So we saw how there is a transition into the corporate side of things in God's economy when we transition from Genesis into Exodus. Exodus speaks of the kingdom. Since a kingdom is a corporate body, it must have an administration. If there's no administration, you cannot have something corporate held together. Hence, as soon as the kingdom and the people of God came into being, there were elders among them. There were elders among them, even in Egypt. A corporate body of elders or an eldership. Eldership is not New Testament. Eldership is in the Old Testament because there was a group of them. Was formed in Exodus. Both the title elder and the eldership, a corporate body of elders, are first spoken of in the Old Testament. The 70 elders in chapter 24. God's desire was not that kings would take care of the administration among his people. Hence, the elders need to be careful. Brothers, let's be careful. None of us should think that if we become an elder, we become a king. Sorry, this has happened. And the wives of that elder becomes the queen. Sorry, that has happened. More than once. I would give you a word, brothers. Don't bring your wife into the eldership. That has happened more than once. That will kill the church. In fact, I don't tell what my wife is about the elders' meeting, and she never asks. I fellowship with her. We have fellowship. We talk about things of the church, but not. She's not an elder. She's not the queen, if you know what I mean. Be very strict about this matter. Otherwise, you cause a lot of problem and bring damage to yourself, your marriage, and your family. All right, let's go on. Where am I? Huh? B. The elders in the New Testament now, we come to the New Testament, are simply the more mature and experienced ones among the saints. Eldership, I like this word. It's not king. It's not emperor. It's not sheriff. You know what I mean? It's not lieutenant, captain. It's a very humble word. Eldership, someone older. I like that. You see, in God's concept, it's not position. It's not rank. It's not control. It's not a chain of command. It's just some who are experienced and older and mature. They take care of the Lord's people. The principle for the appointment of elders in the church is that elders must be grown up and older. Hence, it is a matter of life, growth, and maturity. Don't forget this. Life, growth, and maturity. So if you really mean business, you aspire to overseership. I would say that means you aspire to grow. You aspire to mature. You aspire to the things of life. That is a good sign, a sign that you know what you're thinking about. Don't go out to the bookstore and buy a whole bunch of books on leadership. There was one among us from the old days. He read Mao Zedong, Chairman Mao, How to Run a Country of Billion People. An elder must be one who has rich experiences of life in regard to spiritual matters and must be mature in life. Rich experiences. Brothers, you need to pursue Christ to experience life. An elder must be one who is experienced in life and able to bear responsibility for God's people. If you don't know life, you are just what? A good manager at Google, right? Or whatever. You're not qualified to bear responsibility for God's people. It's a matter of life. Two, an elder must also be a priest who draws near to God and has contact with God. This is fundamental. I have seen brothers, elders, leading brothers, have no spiritual life to speak of. No morning revival, no contact with the Lord, no dealings, but they know how to administrate and call shots and make decisions. No life with the Lord, no inner life, no hidden life. Not a priest. I would say, how dare you? How dare you in the church of God for his name's sake? What are you doing here? It's a joke. This is the wrong place. This is not that kind of a realm. In the Old Testament, there was an eldership related to carrying out God's administration and a priesthood related to ministering God's word. There's an eldership separate from the priesthood. The eldership, carry out God's administration, and there's a priesthood, minister God's word, God's instant word speaking. All right? There are two groups. But in the New Testament, however, these two bodies have become one. Actually, today, the proper elders are priestly elders. You put that adjective in front. Am I priestly? Or am I just a worldly elder? What is a priest? Let's see. And as a priest, an elder must constantly draw near to God, bearing God's people on his shoulders and embracing them on his breast in order to bring them into God's light and read them like the letters of the alphabet. I have no time. You go into the footnotes, okay? What is in that breastplate and the Urim and the Thummim? All of this you have to get yourself familiar with. But the point is, that breastplate really is what? Is a figure of what? Of God's people. Right? All 12 tribes, the names are all there. With the Urim and the Thummim for the reading of God speaking by way of light. Do you have God's people on your shoulders and on your breasts, brothers? I would again say, how dare you if you don't, to lead God's people. You don't care for the saints. You have heart for affairs, but not the people. You do things, but you don't shepherd. Saints are not on your heart. Eventually, some of the elders, the Old Testament leaders, became like that. They wound their own sheep. They damaged their own sheep. And that made God full of wrath. This is not just God taking care of his own name. This is God seeing the leaders among his people abusing them. Brothers, you want to bear responsibility? Learn to bear the saints on your shoulders, and embrace them on your heart. Name by name. Do you do that? Or are you just seeking a position? Let's continue. He must have a heart that cares for God's people and be a person who draws near to God, fellowships with God, is in the light of his countenance. I love all these descriptions. And is able to read every member in the church according to God's view. Every member. This will enable him to receive God's instant revelation. We will see later on. There's the constant word, which was the law in the Old Testament, and the instant speaking, which is by way of the Urim and Thummim with the breastplate from the priest. It is by these two things the elders know how to lead God's people. It's not how smart and how much great ideas you have. It's whether you have God speaking constantly and instantly. All right? Now we come to Romans 2. Let's read. The importance. A, the carrying out of God's New Testament economy in a particular place depends entirely upon the elders. I hope you would mark the word entirely. We all love God's economy, but it's being carried out in your local church, practically. How? How so? How well? Entirely depends on the elders. B, whether the tide of the church is high or low depends solely upon the elders. Now, not just entirely, but solely. When the elders are weak, the church is weak. And when the elders are strong, the church is also strong. If the elders are spiritually rich, the church is spiritually rich. And if they are spiritually poor, the church is also spiritually poor. You can gauge the condition of the church by the condition of the elders. The church can never surpass the elders in her condition. So either you are, you facilitate that condition or you become a problem, a bottleneck to the growth of that church. It depends on the elders. Elders' function in cooperation with the apostles is a big one, all right? Elders have to learn how to work with the apostles. Acts 15 reveals the importance of elders in the administration of a local church. You all know that that conference that was called due to the dispute among these believers, especially the Jewish believers, on the keeping of certain things of the Old Testament, right? Circumcision and things, the diet and things like that, all right? So they have this conference, and there in Jerusalem, when they met together, and even Paul and Barnabas were there, along with the elders and apostles in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. They came from Antioch. And together, for the sake of the entire body of Christ, they conference to make a certain decision together. And there, it says explicitly, the elders and the apostles. They work together. The apostles representing the work, the elders representing the church. They work together. All right. Paul and Barnabas discussed the problem related to those teaching the keeping of the Jewish law with the apostles and elders. This clearly demonstrates the importance of the elders. All right. We will get into more of this matter in a different time concerning the relationship of the ministry, the work, and the church. It's a very, very important principle to grasp. And I've seen leading brothers in churches who do not understand that relationship. So they fail to provide the proper cooperation with the ones who are in the ministry and in the work. All right? But let us not go so far. One of the eldest function, important function, is to what? Cooperate with the proper apostles for God's economy. Three, just as the apostles are important, the elders are equally important. You may want to underline that word, equally important. Elders function in cooperation with the apostles. There are some elders who declare what? Independence. This is my church. You know, this is like this square carpet here. This is my church. And there are moats around it. And the bridge is drawn. We are answerable to God. Administration local. What apostle? What co-worker? We are not beholden to you. We're just beholden to the Lord. How does that sound to you? And I've seen plenty of churches like that. Bad habit. Not to mention not according to the truth. And even our practice in the Lord's recovery, which is based on the Bible. No. There's no such thing. The local churches are there. The one church, one city is there. But what? For what purpose? To accommodate our present situation, present limitation of time and space, according to God's wisdom. How many bodies are there of Christ in this universe? One. Am I right? How many gods are there in this universe? How many ministries are there in the New Testament? How many testimony does God have? How many new men are there? How many brides are there? You know. Many local churches, one body. And churches should not be like this. Isolated, holed up, tall walls with barbed wires, you couldn't come in, neither can you go out. I need a visa to visit you. I've seen this. You laugh. Absolutely practiced. Brothers, no borders. That line between a city and a city, it's not there. You're going to find it painted. It's an imaginary line. Brothers, we are one body. Amen. We do have local churches. We do have local elders. That's their job in the locality. But fellowship universal. Move universal. Everything else is universal. So the elders must see this and not practice isolationism. Localism, which really is the beginning of sectarianism. A local sect, that's what it means. Even in the Lord's recovery, we can have sects. All right, let's move on. D, the importance of the elder's position is mainly in regard to these two aspects. They must cooperate with the apostles and they must follow the Holy Spirit. Please have a change in concept. Cooperate with the apostles and follow the Holy Spirit. They are not mutually exclusive. In fact, in normal circumstances, they are the same. They align. Of course, we have some discernment concerning the apostles and all that. There's another story. There is that side. All right? We're not here just to be undiscerning, because there's problems that way also. Some who are really not the right ones coming as apostles or whatever, causing a lot of problems. But that's the other side, and we will talk about that. All right? Although the elders should cooperate with the apostles, both the apostles and the elders need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in their mutual cooperation. And the apostles should fellowship with the elders, right? In a proper kind of a way. There should be good, harmonious, mutual fellowship. This is the normal, healthy situation. If the elders do not cooperate with the apostles, the administration of the church will disintegrate. And if the elders do not follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, that is the second aspect, the administration of the church will become paralyzed. So with regards to the Spirit, with regards to the apostles, the elders must know how to cooperate and follow. Three, some elders would neither cooperate with the apostles nor follow the Holy Spirit. Instead, they try to do things according to their own views and ideas. When they do this, the importance of the eldership is lost. And I've seen really my share of this in the recovery. They're just in this little cocoon, this little small kingdom of theirs, generating their ideas and views about things, resistant to the fellowship, the leading. Who will suffer? That church will suffer. They'll be out of date. They'll be out of the flow. They're just on their own. Brothers, no church should or could survive on its own. We draw our life from the body, from the Spirit, but also from where the Spirit dwells, and that is the body. I just don't know how to have a church life without the body anymore. To me, it's an impossibility. All right? And the apostles represent the body to bring the fellowship. That's why it's called the fellowship and teaching of the apostles. Okay, when the elders cooperate with the apostles and walk with the Holy Spirit and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, their administration is worthwhile. Five, this is because the apostles bring in the apostles' teaching and the Holy Spirit carries out the apostles' teaching through the elders among the local churches. So I think it is very clear. The apostles neither should bring their ideas and their views. The proper ones should bring only what is in the apostles' teaching, which is the teaching according to God's economy. Am I right? And the Holy Spirit carries out the apostles' teaching through the elders among the local churches. You say, what are we doing in the local churches anyway? What is to build up a local church? One way to look at it is day in and day out, we are executing, we are implementing the apostles' teaching and fellowship to build up the saints, to build up the church. That's what we're doing. Okay, three, let's read. The eldership in the churches always be. We put this up front because it is such an important principle. The scriptural principle with regard to the eldership is always plurality. God does not want one brother to be the unique elder. He wants a few brothers to be a group of elders. And we have seen that. Recently, we have to deal with a case, a brother in a church, by various reasons, for the longest time, I'm talking about decades, the situation has built up so that he is almost the unique leader and elder. And those who are around him are basically his loyalists. You know what I mean? His yes man. You understand, huh? That's the situation. And that caused that church to suffer greatly. The saints just are suppressed, oppressed, because the situation is wrong. Wrong. This plurality keeps any elder from being an official leader or a permanent leader. Now, these are all important words. Nothing official, nothing permanent. When you are appointed an elder, that doesn't mean you're official. You're permanent. You say, what does appointment mean? Well, it is the spirits confirming your function. But it does not mean official in an organizational sense, in a worldly sense. Neither does it mean it is endless, permanent. For elders to become elder and not become should be not uncommon. But we have this idea that once you're elder, you're forever an elder. No such thing in the Bible. It depends a lot of factors. All right. Now the issue, let me see, of who will take the lead among the elders is determined by each one's capacity. Because one brother has the highest capacity in certain areas, he may be the leading one in a certain matter. In another matter, a different brother may have the highest capacity. Even among a group of leading brothers, they take the lead in different ways, in different areas. I don't need to tell you this plurality is the greatest protection because it balances. It forces fellowship. It kills independence. Am I right? It stops individualism. All of these things are what? Are the gophers, are the problems to the body life. To the body life. So in the same thing with the eldership. In the New Testament, among God's people, there are no, now here are all good words, no, number one, unique, that means only you, 2, definite. 3, official. 4, permanent leadership. Such a leadership would be an insult to the headship of Christ. I would say the headship of Christ has been more than insulted in too many places, even among us. Sometimes, not deliberately, not intentionally, but nevertheless, it happened. So, brothers, we need correction, don't we? We need adjustment, don't we? Let us take a good long look at our own situation, locality by locality, in the presence of the Lord. Lord, what is our eldership like? What is the condition of the leadership in our place? Is this according to your word? Is it according to your revelation, or is this something that we have inherited and we're just practicing by habit now, by tradition now? It's good to have a thorough review after many, many years. And I like Brother Lee's words, don't be afraid. Be honest. Don't be self-deceived. Come into the light. And always keep in mind, there's nothing to protect except God's interest. Forget about your interest. Take care of profit for the church. F, the plurality in the eldership is crucial because it helps prevent anyone from becoming what? A king among the churches. A king. In the Lord's recovery, we have bred certain kings over time. Some bigger kings, some smaller kings, but kings. You know, there's some kings who only rules 5 people, but still they won't give up their kingship. And some have 5 citizens in their kingdom for decades. They're still proud of it. They're still proud of it. What is that? What is that? All together in darkness. All together without revelation. All together natural. We need a tune-up. We really need a tune-up. Not by me. Forget about me. By his word. Amen?
Amen?
I'm done for this session. What do you think?
Amen.
Let me ask, where are you on this fellowship? Are you receiving?
Amen.
Let me end with this. I told the brothers, I told Elton, I said, brother, I don't know what we would be doing here without Brother Lee. I don't know. Maybe you know. All right? I don't. Let me tell you why. Brother Nee put out a book called The Normal Christian Church Life. And in it, he talks a lot about apostles, elders, local churches, church boundary, ground, all of this. And it became a hit, you know, especially in the 60s. Boy, everyone is getting that, and everyone wants to practice the church life. Oh, this is great. Well, I wouldn't second guess the intention. The Lord knows. But so they take this book as a Bible. And so there was a flurry of local church practices, not among us, everywhere, in many free group, you know, circles who have access to these books or were introduced to these books. So suddenly everyone is an apostle. And those apostles start appointing elders. And those elders having their own churches. And many of them flopped or just became another worldly thing. Didn't work. Well, is the principle wrong of one church, one city? Is that there should be no apostles and no elders? No. Let me tell you what is lacking. What is lacking is not that. What is lacking is the proper way to carry that out. In the way of life. In the way of the truth. In the way according to God's economy. And I tell you, this is where Brother Lee comes in. You hear me this morning mentioning his times again and again and again. How I wish Brother Lee is standing here. And I would be glad to sit. I don't know where. You just give me a chair. Yeah. But he's not here. Thank the Lord he's still here. He's dead, but yet he still speaks. Let me tell you, I treasure. These are not just some principles. I tell you, these are years of experiences in how to apply those truths and work it out in our present-day church life. You would be blessed to heed these instructions. These are years of experiences through even his own suffering and mistakes and learning. Today we have it right here. You and I could be spared a lot of trouble, a lot of dead ends by just heeding to these words. I consider these instructions more than just a teaching. I consider them instructions. Okay, brothers?
Amen.
Aren't we blessed?
Amen.
Very blessed.
Amen.
But let's not squander that blessing. Let's cooperate with that blessing by applying diligence.
Amen.
To not only receive the speaking, but get into them.
Amen.
Do them. Practice them.
Amen.
And what? And adjust ourselves. Correct ourselves, our situation, accordingly. Then the Lord has a way to go on in the churches. All right, I think it's time again for just a little prayer, and then we will have a break for about 15 minutes or so. Is that okay? And then I think in the break, let those brothers who never got close to the coffee and tea, let them get it first. Right? I told the brothers next time we should have more spread out. So we will all be bunched up there. Maybe move the last row up to the front. Fill in here. We have a little bit more space for movement. Have a little prayer for 1 minute, and then we can have a break.
Amen.